It's Helping Hand, weekly feature airing statewide here on HPR One stations each Friday, part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org, where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are archived. Each week, Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event in the community that offers assistance to the disabled and to others who are among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. Thanks for joining us. This week we are learning about a new single from musician, songwriter, producer, engineer James Williamson. You may know him from Iggy and the Stooges fame, working with the legendary Iggy Pop. On this, he is working alongside artist Lisa Kalkala of the Bell Rays. It's a 100% benefit for homeless children here in Hawaii. And as you probably know, Hawaii has the single most severe homelessness epidemic per capita of anywhere in the United States. And this CD, this single project is with benefactor Project Hawaii. Single is called I Love My Tutu, probably something that many people across the state can relate to. It's backed with another track, Never Far From Where the Wild Things Are. Came out on iTunes June 17th, and then on August 12th, it's released as a 7-inch through Amazon and other music retailers. And we are privileged to learn more about it with the author himself, James Williamson, joining us now on Helping Hand. James, aloha, and thank you very much for taking some time, brother.
Aloha, David. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you here, Brandon. Explain if you can first, because I'm sure it's a little bit of a, usually on Helping Hand, we're talking directly to a nonprofit, or sometimes we've also expanded the feature, I should say, to deal with the rhino poaching crisis, which has roots in Asia. And so we're every several weeks supplementing our usual local nonprofits with a feature about the horrific situation that's affecting the rhinoceros. And then today we're kind of doing something unusual too, because we've got an actual musician like yourself. But when I heard about it through your PR people, I realized that this was a really important thing to put the light on, especially with our homelessness epidemic, and because seeing someone do something so good with their talent, I think it's an inspiration for others. So if you can, to begin with, explain your connection to Hawaii.
Oh, well, you know, my wife and I have come to Hawaii over the last, 25 or 30 years regularly, and in the past, I'd say, the past 15 years, we've sort of become residents, part-time anyway, of the Big Island. And so we're very, very familiar with Hawaii, and especially the Big Island. So we certainly have an affinity to the islands and to, the way in which, the sort of the tutu or the grandmothers have a special place in Hawaii. So that's kind of the genesis of this song, really. And then, of course, we found out about this organization and thought that it would be a wonderful thing, to sort of dedicate the efforts to.
Yeah, they sound like a great organization, Project Hawaii, what James is referring to, and organization that folks, if they're listening and they just want to bring up the website online, it's helpthehomelesskeiki.org is their website, which I'll give out at the end. When you say you're a sometime resident, and it's always nice to know there are folks like you who make Hawaii at least part of their regular life, how often are you on the Big Island?
We're now these days we're there over 6 months out of the year, so about half the time, sometimes more. We just love it over there. We would be over there full time, except we have a granddaughter in California too, and so we can't. We need to kind of split our time between the two places. And of course, with music, I do a lot of my music in California because of the recording aspect of it. And so that's why we can't be there full time. But it certainly is enjoyable when we can be.
That's cool. It's a whole lot of time. It's more than some other celebrity sort of folks have their time here. And understandably, people, it's a big world and there's a lot of connections folks may have and responsibilities in different places. And you may have said it, but when did you first come here, James? Was it just to explore Hawaii or did you come here to play? What was the first thing that drew you here?
My very first visit was my honeymoon some 35 years ago. And then I had been there for back and forth through work and so forth, really almost every year from there. But then maybe 15, 20 years ago, we started coming over quite frequently because we enjoyed it so much. Once you get past the sort of tourist part of it, it's such a wonderful place. That we felt like, you know, a real affinity towards the islands.
Obviously. And for folks who the name might be new to, and it was for me, Lisa Kaukala, can you tell me a little bit about this musician who's joined you in this effort?
Yeah. Lisa, I think you mentioned she's with the Bell Rays. She also plays in another group called Lisa and the Lips. And they're kind of a... I don't know how to best describe them. Maybe they're kind of rock, but also kind of soul, if a little bit. And really, they're unique. And Lisa's voice and performance is so strong that you just have to experience it. But I think I first ran into Lisa when I was doing a solo record a few years back. She sang on a couple of the tracks on the album, and I was just so completely taken aback by her voice that when I went to do this single, I just knew that she was the perfect person to sing these songs. You know, not only is she part Hawaiian herself, which, you know, so she had the pedigree to sing these songs, but she also has her nephews and family in Hawaii. And you'll notice if you listen to the music that at the end of the song, her niece and nephew come on and sing the last verse with her, or actually the last chorus. And so it's kind of a all-in-the-family Hawaiian record.
That's cool, and that is, I was going to ask you about that. So that those folks live on Maui, is that what I was understanding?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's cool, so it's bridging together a few different areas of the state in addition to, that's another point about it that's special. And from both having she with local family members here and you with your regular visits, what got you so passionate in our growing homeless problem or understanding of it that you decided to bring awareness to it through releasing some music?
You know, I just homelessness itself, of course, is an awful thing, and it's really ridiculous that in this day and age that. A country like the United States has this problem, but be that as it may, when it comes to the keiki, it's just gut-wrenching. You know, it just is a terrible, terrible thing. And so, I looked into this organization, and they're doing fantastic things. I mean, the lady, one of the founders, is Megan Patrick. I was just emailing with her the other day, and she, you know, right now they're in the middle of summer camp for the keiki to give them, you know, something, some way to learn new things over the summer. And they provide back to school supplies, you know, for these kids who have nothing so that they can, have the basic things that people need in order to learn and be a part of the other children who are not homeless. So it's just a wonderful thing. And I felt like, I can't do much, but here's something I can do that might make a difference.
And it's utilizing a skill and a life passion of yours that you've had, which is your musical ability and talent that's gone on for decades and decades. So I like that you're doing what you can. It's kind of like why I do this feature on the air, Helping Hand, because I'm
exactly.
like, well.
And I hope people, it'll resonate with people and they'll, you know, go get the record and help out too.
And you chose a topic by, it's very universal. It's one that can take you to, people could maybe not know who you were, but just the name of the single would draw them in on a local level. In terms of the lyrics for that, how did the lyrics come about?
Well, it was innocent enough. You know, I was sitting around one day with my own granddaughter, and I was playing ukulele for her and just sort of made up that little hook line, you know, love my tutu. And she loved the song, and the tune of the song, it was a kind of a Jawaian, you know, reggae-ish kind of thing.
Right.
And, you know, the next thing we kind of thought, well, hey, this is fun. And I started fleshing out the lyrics with my wife, and she helped me, you know, come through with some of the lyrics. And pretty soon we had the tune and figured, oh, this is great. We'll let's record this. So that between that and the B-side is kind of a, I guess inspired by the books Where the Wild Things Are. So it's another, the whole thing is a sort of a children's effort, but really not so much. It's I guess you could call it children of all ages. It's really applies to us old people too.
No, it's nice. It's a good way of putting it. And it's neat that you have that other kind of topicality, if that's a word, on the B-side. And we've mentioned Project Hawaii, again, their website, helpthehomelesskeiki.org. And I don't know if you said it, if you did, forgive me because I forgot it already. But how did you, because there's so many, we've had many, many homeless nonprofits on the program, because the thing is, if you walk around in Honolulu, at least, I've been to Hawaii Island many times, but not since the epidemic became what it is. But if you're walking around Honolulu, it's a very sobering experience, to say the least about it. So when I think of the myriad of organizations and fantastic people, real role models for what you can do with your life, some of these folks, what led you to that group, Project Hawaii in particular, to be the benefactor?
Well, you know, it was, I guess it was serendipity, really. I became aware of the problem, and so I started looking around for, you know, people that were trying to do something about it, that maybe I could somehow, help them out in some way. And I just happened upon this organization, and the more and more I looked into it, the more I saw that they were doing really good work, and they were certainly well deserving of any help that they could get. Megan Patrick herself was homeless at one time in her life, and so she is someone who is very deeply familiar with the problem, and is also very well respected within the sort of nonprofit community. So this is somebody who's sort of a stand-up person that is making a difference and has dedicated her life to it. And I felt like, well, wow, okay, this is the least I could do.
Well, it's cool. It's neat. And I was just curious out of how they ended up being the benefactors. And again, for folks listening, all of the proceeds of the sales of this are going to support that organization, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And that's cool. That's a great thing to stick out there and to give you, it's a feather in your cap, because a lot of folks, sometimes I do a lot of music related interviews on the program, and have for a very, very long time. And after sort of being touched by stuff when I lost my mom and my grandmom a couple years ago, and I started the Helping Hand thing, I also started sometimes asking artists as part of the interview about spiritual things and also about philanthropic efforts of theirs. And sometimes when you talk to folks, it's fun. It's not funny. It's just, it's interesting. Some people have just not, maybe it's, they haven't been touched by things. Maybe for whatever reason, they haven't done a lot, maybe to give back. It maybe hasn't even occurred to them that that is something they could or should do with their life. So having an artist like yourself with a history like you've got, doing what you are, it's nice to put a spotlight on that, because it's really, it's the complete difference of when sometimes I bring that up and there's just this long silence as they try to
yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
It hits you, you know, and I've had to take 5 steps back and say, Dave, you know, not every interview are you going to get to a spiritual thing, or are you going to get to that philanthropic give back? You got to do your best to make it something that's going to hold people's attention while they're driving, which is the name of the game. But yeah, it is tough. I've had to get over that sadness and not let me just throw in the towel of wanting to talk to folks. But that's why it's neat to have a cat like yourself who is taking advantage of their talent in the way that you are. Now, it makes one wonder, when I was learning a little bit about you, because at first when I heard about it, I was like, wow, and this guy, how is this guy connected to Hawaii? When I think about your career and Iggy Pop, has Iggy heard the song?
You know, I don't really know if he's heard it or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if he liked it. You know, I mean, it's just like he has a very soft side. You know, there's probably, if it was him doing it, though, the charity might be something like PETA or some animal related charity, because he is very much, in fact, he does quite a bit of charity work for animal rescue organizations and so forth.
Well, that's a great thing to be involved in, and I got a real soft spot for them myself, all kinds of animals, and that's neat to hear. If you don't mind, just because it, for historical perspective of the conversation, how did you first meet? And again, for people who study James's career, James has done a lot of other things. James is one of these cats who's been able very successfully to get away from being a hands-on performer all the time and still be able to earn a living with his passions by employing his engineering and recording skills and his technical skills. So he's not entirely, you know, plugged into needing to be a career musician all the time, because he's so gifted to do other things. But thinking about this cat who you've had an interesting relationship with, how did you first meet Iggy Pop?
Well, I lived in Detroit. And so as a kid growing up in high school, in that area, he was in Ann Arbor, which is a college town not that far away from Detroit. And so those of us in bands and stuff, you know, would run into each other, because we'd be playing fraternity parties or this, that, or the other place. So I had known him as a high school guy. And then later on, when I moved to Ann Arbor, of course we were already friends, and they were looking for a rhythm guitar player, and so they sort of asked me if I wanted to be in the band, and I said, you know, hell yeah, you know, I'm not doing anything else, you know, and so we had it wasn't all glory and success for sure in those early years, but we had a lot of good times in our 20s.
And that's also, it's a great thing that you point out, because Iggy and the Stooges are, by today's standards, it's an extraordinarily pioneering act, considering what you had done, because later on, the way that music would change direction and the influence of alternative sort of sounds over time, it became quite staggering, the way that you got, what you guys were doing, the sounds you were making, kind of like a Black Sabbath in the same sort of thing, where a lot of people didn't realize at the time how significant what they were doing was. And it's the same with you guys. So you describe it well when I think of that period. And that was back when one of my mentors worked in that area, WABX. Was that a radio
station? Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'll never forget with the first summer that I moved to Detroit. I was an Army brat, so I moved from Oklahoma to Detroit, and that summer was when the Martha and the Vandellas broke Heat Wave, and it was a heat wave, in Michigan, and of course WABX was playing that record nonstop.
Yeah, that was Mark Parento was the guy who I learned a lot from, and he did I guess afternoons and was PD there or something for a while. A lot of great recordings he would play me of talking with John Lennon and John Sinclair and all kinds of different things that were going on in your community. As we go to wrap it up with you, is there any chance that you might do a gig out here in support of the single?
You know what? I think I can tell you for sure that Lisa would be delighted to do a gig for that. And of course I would too. And so, yeah, absolutely. If we could get the right situation to make it happen, yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic. We don't have any plans currently, but you know, you never know about these things. And it's a fun song. And we certainly, any excuse, I'm sure, to get Lisa over there would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, well, as we wrap it up, I'll put in your mind, we have and I'll reach out to Tony, your PR guy, and send him some info on it, but we have a 75-seat small venue. It's sort of like the Austin City Limits, but for radio. It's a beautiful theater it's a studio and attached to the radio station. We've hosted all kinds of stuff in there, from Ziggy Marley to Godsmack Unplugged to guys like recently we had John Hammond in there, and Roger McGuinn of the Byrds has been in there. Booker T from Booker T and the MGs has done a thing in there. A lot of different artists over the years have done things in there with us.
Thanks. I think that sounds like an interesting offer, and I certainly will look forward to looking into it more. And I know Lisa would be really, really keen to talk about it further. So let's try to figure it out.
Absolutely. It's just a good light to put in your head. The organization that James's single is benefiting is Project Hawaii. They're online at helpthehomelesskakey.org. James is online at straightjameswilliamson.com. Single is out at iTunes, hitting Amazon as a 7-inch August 12th, and also select music retailers. 100% of the proceeds of what this man has done with the song and the B-side are going to support Project Hawaii in their fight to help out the homeless, and in particular, a portion of that population, homeless children here in the state, which leads the entire country in our population of homeless folks per capita. As always, you can find the radio feature, the full interview, all the contact information, and all of our other Helping Hand features online at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. It's been a privilege to hear about I Love My Tutu and the B-side, Never Far From Where the Wild Things Are. James Williamson, whose history includes Iggy Pop, Iggy and the Stooges, groundbreaking musician. And thank you so much, James. I hope that this wasn't a hassle for you. And I admire what you're doing with your talent. It's an inspiration for others to do good. And I really appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure, David. Thank you very much for having me on.